If you spend time on the internet in the standard off-the-shelf way, you notice how your interests are reflected back to you. Just Google the Battle of Hastings in 1066, for example, and you might then begin seeing ads on web pages offering tours of battlefields or cheap flights to England or bus tours in the British countryside. That's just an imaginary example. There are plenty in the real world, and we're left wondering what else we're communicating about ourselves and our interests online. That concern is the center of a project called The New Organs, an interactive project on, well, sure, on the internet. Tiga Brain and Sam Levine are both artists and educators and the founders and directors of the project. Tiga, thank you for joining us.
Sure, hi.
And is it Tiga or Tega?
It's Tiga, you've got that right.
Okay, and Sam Levine is with us as well. Hi, Sam.
Hi, thanks for having us.
I don't know where to address either of these, so we'll start with Tiga. How about that? How concerned are each of you about the kinds of information collected while we use the web?
I think it's a huge issue right now, and I think all the revelations and news stories we're seeing around Facebook shows us how important these issues are. Our project addresses this question of like how much data is collected by everything we do online, but also how big tech companies are also buying data sets about everything that we're doing offline, so anything you might buy with a credit card, and then combining these data sets to create very, very detailed profiles of us, on these platforms.
Oh, it's interesting. So we're not just talking about online stuff, but any time we're using stuff in electronic media, and at this point, you know, credit cards are electronic media in a sense, all that stuff gets compiled and lumped together.
Yeah, that's right. So we talked to a lot of journalists and people from industry about the data market that has emerged over the last few years, where companies are basically buying and selling data sets from each other to try and amass the most complete data about its users. So that also includes, in the case of Facebook, data about who you might be connected to socially, right? So who's in your contact book, who you talk to online, and then that sort of information is used to build a profile of like what kind of demographic you are, so what other people are like you out there, and then online content is targeted at you based on that as well.
So there are just so many ways, it sounds like, in which data can be collected on us and all end up in some sort of central repository where it's accessible to a number of different organizations.
That's right. Almost anything you do online now is being interpreted and collected as data by these companies.
So Sam Levine, have you changed your practices? I mean, maybe private browsing and some other things to thwart collection of stuff?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, so I always use an ad blocker, and that actually does a lot to both make it so you don't see ads, of course, which is just kind of like a nicer way to use the internet. But it also makes it so that it's harder for online companies to collect data about you. And I also lately have deleted Facebook from my phone, but I still do use it on my computer because I want to, you know, be able to like stay connected to my friends and see what events they're going to and stuff. And I actually think it's a really interesting question about, you know, should we change our behavior online and offline because we know that so much data is being collected about us? And the answer, I think, to that is yep, perhaps we should, but also I don't think we should be looking at this as a sort of individual problem. So it is a thing that you can kind of deal with and you can sort of mitigate a bit, but I don't think it should be our individual responsibility to attempt to stop all these companies from collecting data about us. I think it's a systemic problem and it needs a kind of systemic solution, the same way that something like climate change does. Like everyone should recycle, but it's, you know, if we all started recycling, it's not going to immediately stop climate change from being a terrible problem.
All right, so individual behavior is not going to be enough to change this all around. So tell us about then the birth of the New Organs Project, Sam.
Sure. So, you know, everyone kind of has these stories where they're like, you know, I was talking about something, maybe some product or some idea in the real world. I had my phone on the table and then later that day, I saw an ad for that very thing I was talking about on the internet, right? So we were hearing lots of stories like that. And what we wanted to do is to kind of create an archive of them, a sort of oral history of what it's like living under surveillance capitalism. So we put out a call, and thousands of people sent us their stories. And, you know, they range from pretty benign stuff to some stuff that kind of gets a little, I guess, creepy and alarming. And then after we had collected all those stories, we made a documentary, a kind of video essay, where we interviewed some people from the industry and collected presented what our take on what is going on.
It's I'm trying to look at it while I'm talking to you, and it could be so distracting because there's just so much going on visually at the New Organs. What does New Organs mean, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we were thinking about this project, we were really thinking a lot about how imagination that we have about surveillance and about, I guess, like creepy behavior, we sort of associate that with like sensory organs, like, you know, an eye is staring at you, like someone's actually staring at you, watching you, a camera is watching you, someone's listening in on your conversation, a microphone is listening in. But what's going on now is there's kind of almost new organs for sense and perception. And these are new forms of data collection that are happening. And that's where the name comes from.
Sam Levine and Tiga Brain are artists and educators and the directors of the New Organs, a New York City-based project commissioned by Mozilla to document corporate internet surveillance. You can join the conversation on the exchange, share some stories about the kinds of things that you have discovered in putting information online and what it does when it comes back to you. Join us at 800-838-3760 over the phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Tiga, I just mentioned again that you guys are artists. So this was commissioned by Mozilla, which we're bringing up for the first time, which is the parent to Firefox, for example, commissioned like a work of art. I mean, is New Organs meant to be a work of art?
We see it as a work of art, yes. Obviously, it's a work of art that's built on the participation of a lot of other people, for example, other people who contributed their stories to us. But if you go to the website, yeah, there's a huge amount of online, of archive of those stories. And we've actually interpreted every story as a little video. And so they're all on the website.
That's what I was mentioning a moment ago. If you go to neworgans.net, we're also linked to it through our website at jeffexchange.org, and just scroll down half a page, you see all the stories represented visually and graphically. But it's a very busy site and hard to talk to somebody when there's all that stuff to look at and read off the screen. So I'll avoid it at the moment. And I must say, Tiga, that's uber creepy, the way that ears appear on the about page when you move the mouse around. Whose design was that?
Well, I mean, it was a collaboration. But that ear is actually mine. And then Sam, yes, it did some image editing on it and included it in the background.
Yeah, so if people want to learn what I'm talking about, go to the About page for the New Organs or just move your mouse around, and then ears appear wherever you place the mouse on the screen. So it really underscores the idea that, yeah, somebody's out there listening or at least collecting your information. Tiga, what was the direction given by Mozilla? Again, this is the parent of the Firefox browser, which commissioned what became neworgans.net. What was the instruction from Mozilla to do?
So Mozilla often works with artists and creatives around and commissions them to create projects about issues such as privacy, data collection, and more recently, artificial intelligence. So they often have initiatives where they invite folks like ourselves to pitch creative projects about this. And I think it's really important work because it sort of highlights and animates these issues in different ways and for different audiences and helps us think about how we actually want the internet to be and how we're building it. So, there's many other projects as well that I believe they've commissioned like this.
What does Mozilla get out of it? I mean, because obviously Mozilla has a browser and browsers are part of the process of data collection.
Right, and so Mozilla has been one of the leaders in creating more privacy tools and awareness around these types of issues online. So they do a lot of education initiatives and also commission tools such as ad blockers and so forth to help people protect themselves.
Sam Levine, you mentioned the term surveillance capitalism, which we haven't really explored so far. Is that term your own invention or is there a longer history to it?
It's not my own, no. But the term, generally speaking, refers to the notion that a form of capitalism that's rooted in the collection of private details. So like capitalism rooted in surveillance in some way. And I think what we're seeing online is exactly that. So, you know, we tend to look at Google as like a search engine company, or Facebook as a social media company, or Twitter as a social media company, and so on. But what's really going on is their entire profit model is based on collecting data about their users, and then in some way commodifying that data. So like everyone to Facebook is a kind of like source of revenue in some way, whether you sort of are aware of it or not, or whether you really kind of opt into it or not. So I think the thing that's really interesting and alarming to think about is sort of all the ways in which capitalism attempts to commodify new things, right? And so it was not previously the case that it was possible to commodify, our data, but now it is. And that's how these companies are able to make so much money. And also why you hear that kind of like famous phrase, if you're not paying for something, you're not the customer, you're the product, right? So, for example, the customer in Facebook is not you. The customer in Facebook is all the people making ads on Facebook.
Right, and we are the product because we can be delivered by Facebook to those advertisers. So while we're talking about ads then, I mean, it sounds like the process with the new organs began with the ads that show up on our screens. Have we just gotten to the point where we accept that searching one thing one time will result in probably days, if not weeks, of a cascade of ads about the whatever the thing is we just searched?
Yes, that's the situation.
Go ahead, Tiga.
That is the situation. I think we should be thinking about everything that we're doing online as basically being public in some sense. So if you wouldn't want other people to know about something that you're searching for or something that's going on in your life, you probably shouldn't type it into Google or type it into Amazon. It puts us in a difficult situation, obviously, because that means that we can't use these services that we absolutely rely on. But that information is by no means private.
You've both got, obviously, some background in this subject area, but have you found things in the process of compiling the materials in neworgans.net that surprised even you, Tiga?
Yeah, one story that particularly surprised me was a gentleman had recently got a Amazon Alexa, and then his wife started getting ads about asking her if her partner or husband has a snoring problem. And it turns out that this guy did have a snoring problem, and he was very concerned or speculating around whether a product like Alexa, that it obviously does voice recognition, was able to, share nighttime activities to advertisers. We weren't able to say either way whether this is something that Amazon is doing, but if you look at patents that Amazon has, they have recently taken out a lot of patents around being able to predict health issues or sickness based on voice data. So it's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Okay, well, that partially answers a question I have, because we don't have in our house a smart speaker per se, but I swear that things that we have said out loud with no device obviously triggered ended up showing up in ads on our devices, sometimes within a minute or two.
Well, yes. Well, I mean, those voice-activated technologies are definitely listening. We know that. That's how they operate.
Sam, I want to come back to you and get a little further into Facebook here, because you mentioned taking the Facebook app, it sounds like, off your phone, but you still go to Facebook online. I've done that too. I'm curious to hear about your reasons, though.
I mean, it's also just so distracting. I find myself checking it too much, because they make it in a way that they really like want you to keep using it, right? So I think like what's interesting a lot about this stuff too is, the consequences of Facebook being able to know that much about you, right? I think it's something that you really need to think about within like a broader, also political context, right? because the whole point of Facebook or Twitter or whatever is to keep you on the app for as long as possible so that you see as many ads as possible, right? But the way that they do that, you know, the way that they do that is they create these algorithmic recommendation engines, right? So it's like the sort of order that the things appear in your feed, the stuff that you get, get exposed to the most, right? It's the stuff that they think algorithmically they think is going to be most, you know, engaging for you, right? But what it turns out is that a lot of that stuff is also the most extremist stuff, right? So it's kind of like in their attempts to produce a system that hooks you in for as long as possible, it's also, as long as possible to, so that they can show you ads, it's also creating a scenario where like you're seeing the kind of like the most extreme content possible. And you see this a lot on services like YouTube also.
It's not just a matter of them trying to provide stuff that you're mildly interested in. They want to make sure it's stuff that you really do want to click on.
Right. Or just like stuff that's going to just like keep you there for as long as possible. And maybe that stuff is going to be really controversial. Maybe that's what's going to keep you there. Maybe you're like, you know, you'll be kind of like outraged or engaged, you know, and that'll be sort of why you're engaged. One of the things also I thought that was sort of answer your previous question to Tiga that I thought was really interesting and a bit alarming is we're seeing like a lot of stories about health stuff and also stuff about sexuality that I thought was sometimes a bit disturbing. You know, Facebook understanding that someone is gay or not gay, we got a really interesting submission from someone who says that they could basically use Instagram as a casual period tracker because they keep getting served ads for like pads or tampons a few days before they get their period. So like this is a sort of like level of detail and knowledge that these companies have about.
We're talking about a project called The New Organs, which is documenting corporate internet surveillance, headed up by Sam Levine and Tiga Brain, our guests here on the Jefferson Exchange. There's a remark in the video at neworgans.net that says that Facebook has a data file on you, even if you're not a user. Is that true, Tiga?
Yes. As part of our video, we did an interview with a journalist, Kashmir Hill, who has looked at a lot of Facebook's activities. And Facebook calls this shadow profiling. So, for example, if perhaps we had texted Jeff, even though we don't really know each other, and you had added me into your contact book of your phone and then maybe later shared your contact book with Facebook, as the platform encourages you to do, Facebook would take my details and add it onto a shadow profile it has for me, even if I'm not in the Facebook universe, even if I've never logged into it. And this brings up really interesting questions of data ownership because, I would see that as my data. And there's been cases where folks like that have tried to make requests for the shadow contact information about them. And Facebook comes back and says, well, no, actually, that's not your data. It's Jeff's data because it came from his contact book. So there's a lot of questions around what rights we have to know what information these companies have about us, and then what rights we have to ask them to either delete it or have some control over this data in this way.
So has anybody come back to you and said, yeah, nice try, guys. Here you are collecting all these stories about people who have had their stuff collected while you're collecting stuff about their collections? Has anybody really resisted to taking part?
I mean, we definitely have had people concerned, you know, about sharing information with us, which is completely valid. We went to a lot of efforts where people didn't have to share their names or email addresses and they can still contribute a story to us. So we did get some anonymous contributions. And all the stories that you see on that website, we actually got explicit permission from everybody who contributed them that we could publish them. So we've tried to be as careful as possible to respect people's wishes with the information they've given us.
So, Sam, for the people who are listening freaked out, will never want to touch another electronic device in their lives, what are some of the steps they can take to stop what we're calling corporate internet surveillance?
Well, I think the easiest thing that anybody can do is just install an ad blocker on their desktop or laptop computer. And there's lots of them out there. The one that I personally use, and this is just my personal recommendation, is it's called uBlock Origin, like the letter U, then the word block, and then origin. And I think that's just like a good one that doesn't use up too much of your system's resources. And what that'll do is it'll block Facebook from tracking you kind of like around the internet. And it'll also just prevent you from seeing all those ads. So it both stops some of the tracking, not all of it, and also it makes the internet just like a slightly nicer place to be in. But I mean, I think the real problem, and I was kind of getting at this before, is that there's not that much that an individual could do. I mean, you could also stop using loyalty cards at supermarkets. You could tear up all your credit cards. You could never apply for a mortgage. You could never try to get a new car. You know, but I mean, this is sort of like this ridiculous, you know, just shy of just going and living in the woods, right? Like if you live in our world, you're going to be exposing your data to big companies, and that's just the way it is. So I think the thing that we should all be thinking about is, and I don't have an answer to it, but I think we should all be thinking about what we can do collectively to stop this from happening rather than individually. And maybe the answer to that is some pretty serious regulations.
Right. Certainly a greater level of awareness about it in the world today. That is clear. And, mm-hmm. And I would say that the New Organs would be part of that. The New Organs is online at neworgans.net. Sam Levine and Tiga Brain are the creators of it. Tiga's an artist and environmental engineer. Sam Levine, artist and educator. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.